Welcome to the Story Engine Podcast, where we teach you how to make marketing easier, more powerful, and fun through storytelling. I'm your host, Kyle Gray. Each week, we learn from top entrepreneurs, influencers, and world changers on how to share your story through content, copywriting, and speaking, and how to make your message your most powerful marketing tool. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Story Engine Podcast. My name is Kyle Gray, and today on the show we have something a little different. Usually on this show, I am the one who's interviewing the experts, and I wanted to give you a slightly different perspective and see what it's like when an expert is interviewing me on one of my favorite topics of storytelling. And so today I want to share parts 1 and 2 of an expert coffee chat I did with Jane Savalvich, a friend of the podcast. She was recently interviewed on the show a couple months back, and we'll make sure to add that into the links in the show notes as well. And this was part of a live recorded video session or a live stream session. So I do have slides that I'm sharing in this. Most of what I explain, you'll be able to visualize and understand in your mind without any slides. But if you feel like you're missing something, I'll also include the links to the slides I used in this presentation in the show notes as well. So I hope you find it useful. This is a topic that I've explored before. I've made a similar episode on this show, but I also, being interviewed by somebody who's an expert in products and storytelling and is asking unique questions, there's a lot of deep dives into different tactics and philosophies that I have that I think you're really going to enjoy. So without further ado, let's hand it over to me, I guess.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Expert Coffee Chats, our weekly series where I bring best-in-class experts to help you gain clarity and break through the information clutter that entrepreneurs like us are exposed to. I'm excited to bring Kyle Gray on today for another important conversation about storytelling. Kyle is a world-class presentation coach, story strategist, and author who helps coaches, startups, and executives use storytelling to better communicate their unique value and improve sales with their audience. He combines timeless storytelling with cutting-edge marketing to ensure you've got the right story to tell while presenting on a sales call or in conversation, both online and offline. Kyle, welcome. Excited to have you here.
Jane, I'm so excited to be here and be able to share this with your community as I've gotten a chance to learn a little bit more about your process. And so everybody in here, that's just these amazing creators and building programs that are just the perfect fit for them. I've got stories and tools that are very, very nicely tailored for all of you out there. And I can't wait to share.
I love it. So I would love to start with just kind of a simple question. I feel like, and I don't know if this is just like my atmosphere that I'm in or if this is the reality in the business space, but I feel like storytelling is all of a sudden like the hot topic everywhere you turn. Why do you think it's something we're talking about and hearing about so much now?
Yeah, I would say that the big reason is we've entered an age of like really abundant information. Everybody, there's so much information out there. And it's like, I don't know about you, but it's actually like hard for me. I have to think about when I type a search into Google these days, because I just know that like how you search will depend on what answer you get. And so you try not to even bias yourself. And that's like a sign like, wow, it's really, I can find whatever truth I want, but then I don't really know what to believe or to trust. And so since there's all this information out there, all this stuff going on, what we're really looking for and what we're really needing is like a human connection, especially those terrible millennials ruining the world with their selfies. It turns out they don't want to work for people that don't have an interesting kind of story or bigger vision behind what they are doing that gives context to their work. And so it's all of a sudden becoming this very important thing that some people have been well adapted to embrace and to grow with, and others are just learning how to master this right now.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's one of these things, like I was personally exposed to it when I love being on podcasts, and I was on your podcast recently. And one of the questions that almost always gets asked is, what is your story? And there's so many times I've just bumbled through it in just the most awful way that then I re-listen to it. I'm like, okay, that is my story, but I don't think anyone's going to be interested in how I just shared it. So I know I'm selfishly excited to be able to, you know, even even just that, I think there's so much value in it for me. As you said, we're cutting through all this abundance of information, as you so positively put it. But in addition to that, I know, you know, today you're going to share about the three kinds of stories. So I'm really excited to hear what they are. And I know you have a presentation for us. So if you want to dive in, I'm going to make that bigger.
Definitely. And as we're going through this, Jane, I invite you to be the devil's advocate and even really tap into that selfishness that you have and ask all the questions. I have kind of like three sections, and at the title slide for each one, I'll give the opportunity to ask a few questions and speak into anything. And so if we want to go a little bit deeper on each topic as we're going through, I think it's always a great way to really make this more conversational and make sure that all the brilliant people out there tuning in live can be served.
That sounds perfect. Yeah, let's do exactly that.
Okay, well, we're going to be talking today about three stories to make enrolling new clients effortless. That's in your sales calls, in your presentations, which are my favorite, what I'm doing right now, and in your content strategy, your social media, everywhere where you're telling stories about yourself. And, you know, when it comes to storytelling, most people have two problems. One, they have too many stories. They're like, oh my gosh, my life, there's so much stuff going on. I don't even know which story to tell because there's like 17 I could tell for this moment. I'm stunned. Or it's like, Kyle, I have too few stories. My life is so boring. I go to the grocery store on Tuesdays and sometimes I order a pizza. What does it matter?
That sounds like 2020 for most of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, no matter what the issue is, or whether somebody says one of these or the other, I always smile because what's really happening is they don't know how to tell stories. Some other symptoms of not knowing how to tell stories. First, they ignore the power. They over-rely on teaching, case studies. You know, if people can put some acronyms by their name, they're going to tell you all about those, read off their resumes to try and convince you that they are a pro.
Guilty, guilty.
It happens.
Yeah.
Next, they end up sinking money into fancy funnels, offer bonuses, expensive ads to compensate for low conversions. And all of these things have their place. But if you don't have this foundational story in place, then none of this is going to matter. It's like just burning cash. Or worst of all, friends, worst of all, this is the hidden scary one, especially when you're early on. You don't expect this one to come, but it'll come. Your stories will attract the wrong type of customer. And it reminds me of a story from a few years ago where I'm at an event in Las Vegas and I'm surrounded by great influencers and thought leaders, and a potential high ticket client I've been speaking with is there. This man's well known in his space, has an established audience, and a great track record with his clients, which is like everything I'm looking for in a perfect client. Awesome. And he had seen me speak a few weeks back, even better. And between talks at this event, we managed to set up a meeting to finalize our plan on how we're going to work together. And we start walking through the winding maze of casino floor slot machines and table games designed to draw our attention to them. And I start to think about the noise and the competition that can be so difficult to rise above. You know, it feels like I'm like afraid that one of these slot machines is going to distract him. But we step out of the noise of the casino floor and into a quiet lounge. And this is my moment, my big opportunity. And so I begin to share my plan for how I would help him. And I start to feel some distress because the big value that I'm bringing to this project seems to be lost on him as he starts to nickel and dime me at every possible detail. It's like I'm trying to offer this guy the Ferrari sports car of his dreams, and he's holding back because he thinks the keychain looks a little off. And you know, I've been here many times before. It's not just this moment, but gosh, is it frustrating? It's the enrollment call where the person just keeps asking for discounts. Or even worse, it's the client that pays for your programs, but never listens or implements what you teach. It's like, what are you even doing here? And it's the webinar that just felt so right, but just did not convert well. And I realized there that a perfect client that does not recognize your value is not actually such a perfect client. And I had to step away. I politely declined and said we didn't have a fit and stepped back out into the blinking lights and ringing bells of the casino hall, wondering if I had just thrown away an opportunity. And I look inward and I start to wonder how many of my ideal clients are missing the point. And I look back on my presentation and it starts to dawn on me. You see, there's a gap that I've never noticed before. I've spent years mastering my craft, but that is not translated into my presentations. You know, when I speak, I'm mostly winging it, relying on my past experience, past results, and instead of structured storytelling and strategic teaching. I have a rough idea of what I want to say and mostly just read off my slides. I never practice my presentation. Who does that? And because of this, at best, I stay up late the night before trying to update or create something, and it's all kind of cobbled together last minute. Usually that means I go long. The irony in realizing this is almost comedic to me. The main tool I use for enrolling new customers, a solid presentation, on podcasts, on summits, everywhere I go, I'm using this presentation. And this is something where I just wing it. Would I trust an architect to build my house in this way to wing it? Would I trust a surgeon? No. And it was in this conversation, in this casino lounge, that I'm realizing that my impact, my success, my value as a coach are directly linked to my ability to communicate that impact and value. And you know, I knew I was good to get to this level in business. I could get results and make results happen. But what got me here was not what was going to take me to the next level. I needed to communicate better. And so I start to learn all of the secrets of great presenting, how to do the spoken word, storytelling, how does great teaching all fit together and create trust, eliminate objections, and build a desire for the true value of what I do. And I started investing in workshops and coaching and began studying the masters of persuasion and story. And over the course of 5 years and a lot of costly and painful mistakes, I went from reading books on the topic to writing my own. I went from attending workshops on presentations and storytelling to teaching and hosting workshops of my own. I went from being coached to having coached hundreds of entrepreneurs and coaches and influencers just like you on how to increase their sales, their enrollment, their engagement on their presentations, sales calls, all of their marketing with better storytelling. And now, where I once had to deal with people asking for discounts and getting lost in the details, now I have clients that are delighted to pay premium prices to work with me. Where I once was winging it in my presentations, I now have a well-refined tool to attract new clients anytime I need it. And where I was once limited by my communication, it now creates my biggest opportunities. And here's the truth here, friends. Good news and bad news. As experts, we're always presenting. Whether you've got one listener or 1,000, our storytelling and presentation skills are always being put to the test. And I believe that the biggest gap for most entrepreneurs and experts these days is not in some tool. It's not in a tactic or a training or anything like that. It's just in being able to share your story and a brilliance in a way that's going to get results for you. And so that's why we're here today, talking about 3 stories to make enrolling new clients effortless, increasing your sales, making your content marketing simpler. And here are the 3 stories. First, we're going to talk about an unforgettable origin story. How do you introduce yourself in a way that gets people ready to listen to you, trusting you? Next, we're going to learn about success projection stories. How do we teach our content in a way that gets people visualizing what it's like to work with us and be successful with us and overcoming all of their objections before they even arise? And third, we're going to learn the aligned ending story. How do we close our presentations, our content, with the mic drop moment that leaves your audience feeling so satisfied and at the same time feeling the desire to work with you? So let's dive in. Now, we're going to talk about the unforgettable origin story. You just heard one. So maybe you can pick this apart now that you're learning the secrets. Whether on a presentation, whether we're on a podcast or on social media, the first question your audience is going to face is this worth paying attention to? You see, I see like a presentation is like a series of micro yeses. We're not trying to just sell them our 5-figure product right away. We've got to get them to say yes to even registering. And once they're registered and showed up, and that's a good yes too, we've got to get them sticking around for a little longer. And this first story, this first sale is the unforgettable origin story to say, here's why you can trust me and here's why you need to be listening to the rest of this presentation. Because they're not yet open to learning or taking in information like this is the beginning of some intense college lecture. But that's what a lot of people like to try and do, or to prove their intelligence. And so many of the people I work with, they discount the value or utility of opening with a story in a presentation because they feel their teaching is so dang good, they should just jump right into it. Or they think their story is just boring fluff that should be glazed over. Or maybe it's manipulative to share about those painful moments in your life that have inspired you. Or if you don't know how to use a properly an unforgettable origin story, this all may be the case. But the fact is that people need to connect with the essence of who you are. They need to know that they can trust you before they start learning from you. And once they connect with you as a person, it creates a new context for what you have to teach them that will keep your audience much more engaged through the rest of the presentation. Now, while the story you tell is usually your story in this, the story is not really about you, and I hope this lets you off the hook in a way. It's about your listener. And as you share your journey, your audience is going to take a walk in your shoes. And hearing your unforgettable origin story is your audience's first opportunity to experience the transformation that you create. The story of your own transformation is a mirror of what it's going to be like to work with you in your program. And that is the transformation that they're so desperately seeking. How in the world do we create something like this? Very simple. Three steps. It's a three-act play. You're going to find that I love the number three throughout this presentation. But all right, let's dive in. In act one, the first act, this is your painful moment. This is the moment where you're experiencing the problem that you solve for your clients firsthand. Maybe secondhand, you know, if you're watching a colleague, customer, or loved one suffering with it. Share about the moment when you decided you weren't going to live like this anymore. You weren't going to let this problem continue. And even though you didn't have it all figured out, you committed to finding a better way. And in Act Two, you set out on a journey to figure this problem out. This is essentially your Rocky montage where you give us little glimpses of the different pieces you start putting together and the experience you want to create for yourself, and how through a series of costly and painful mistakes you've gone through to figure it out. And finally, in Act Three, you discover the secret to solve this problem, and you use it, and you solve that nasty pain and problem. And that struggle that you were experiencing has transformed into the alignment, the empowerment, the life that your ideal customer is seeking. And that's when you realize that you can help so many more people with this secret than just yourself. You can help others with the same problem. And that is the 1-2-3 step formula to create this. And so what does this sound like? What is this a good glimpse? I want to give you a glimpse into an act three, which is the one where most people tend to miss this one or skip over it. We're pretty good at talking about our painful moments, I've found, but to really like share this moment of success that is really impactful. So this is one of my clients, Nicole Jardine, and she came to me with the goal of launching a new book called Fix Your Period. Now, she was working with a publisher, which meant she got a nice advance on the book, but it was not going to make a lot of money on the launch with the book alone. So with this in mind, we put together a group coaching program and a presentation to celebrate the book launch and invite readers to join the program. Now, Nicole had presented many times in the past, but had never used stories in this way before. Now, Nicole's book, Fix Your Period, helps women with all kinds of period problems get back in control of their lives. And her story showed this transformation perfectly. Here's some quotes from her Act Three. So I'm going to turn on some Nicole right now. My voice isn't that convincing, but you're going to just have to bear with me since you're a creative bunch. Here's Nicole. Within 45 minutes, I had answers to questions I was seeking for years. And for the first time, I had hope I was going to be able to address these problems in my life. I went from feeling frustrated and defeated to hopeful and encouraged. And this was a pivotal moment for me. You see, I was working in film production, my dream career at the time. And we were just on the final stretch of finishing up an extremely difficult Monday night football ad with Faith Hill. And I was so proud of the long nights of having worked on that and what I had achieved and what I had created. And then it hit me for the first time in years, my period problems did not get in the way of my work or my life. I'm going to turn Nicole off. And just with that simple little glimpse into somebody's life, we just get a taste of what the freedom and the problem solved could be. And so this presentation and the power of stories helped her sell out a group coaching program and have a $30,000 launch in the beginning of May, in the depths of COVID last year when nobody was supposedly buying anything. And she's used this talk over and over since then to continue filling her program, sharing her story on summits and podcasts. And this sharing your stories like this creates way more opportunities. Here's another health and fertility expert, Karan Adderley, up in Alberta, Canada. She's brilliant. And she started implementing some of these stories that I was sharing. She created her own three-act play and was using it not only to share stories with her customers, but she started talking with collaborators online on Instagram and getting invitations to Facebook communities that have under 10,000 members, or sharing her story in front of her following of 200,000 members. And so this is a little bit text dense down here, but just starting to apply these stories and these frameworks in your business can open up doors in so many different ways. And when things are going well, you're going to want to create this effect that people are just, you're reading out of their diaries, and there's just such a trust there with you. Even though you're reading out of their diaries, you're like, I understand you and I'm here to help you. And so that is what we've got for Unforgettable Origin Stories. Jane, any questions, reflections, or insights?
Yeah. So the question I do have about the origin story that really always comes up for me is, you know, so many people have their own story, and especially in the coaching world, this is so common. People had an experience, you know, they had that hero's journey through an experience, and now they're out there teaching, coaching other people how to do it. And for my brain, I'm like, okay, well, you have obviously you have an easy way to tell a story. Me and other, and a lot of my clients who are lawyers or therapists or other people who didn't go through that experience, for some reason, I kind of struggle having a story when you haven't gone through the experience you're going to take other people through. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. This is a big one for professionals. A lot of health professionals, you know, move into a place and they haven't, many of them have experienced it firsthand and many of them haven't experienced it firsthand. And yeah. So what we would do here is oftentimes you can tell a story about working with a client that is suffering from this problem. And the emotions that you're communicating are kind of the frustration that you're feeling with the experience. And sometimes what we can do is, depending on if we have a moment in our life that isn't necessarily related professionally, but ties to the value that we have here. So if we're a lawyer, maybe it's like, my father always taught me, you know, do your due diligence and make sure. And then you start to tell a story about that and how, and then I see in my client that he has not done his due diligence on the contracts. And I think about the time where I drove my dad's truck into a barn because I didn't do due diligence. And I can't wait to hear how I connect the dots in those random things I just said.
But, me too.
Yeah. No due diligence. And now I'm just behind the wheel, blindfolded, driving into barn. Anyway, so we want to understand the value that we want to communicate here. And it's important to just be able to tap into the emotional experience that our clients are saying. So where I would start is, again, whether or not, you know, your own personal story mirrors that of the client, we need to really deeply understand like what the client is. Oftentimes I'll say, when I'm working privately, we'll say, I get people write the three biggest pain points they're experiencing with this problem. What is it like to be in this problem? And then we build the story around the pain points.
Will you give an example to give a little more color to that idea?
Absolutely. So when we're asking about, like, I remember talking with somebody on Clubhouse about this before. She was a health expert, and she had said, yeah, well, I don't exactly have I have some similar problems to what my clients had. You know, they were like, your clients get a lot of migraines. Have you ever had a migraine? And she said, yes. And so if we're talking about migraines, I was like, tell me about a moment when you had the worst migraine. And she was like, okay. And we just go a little bit deeper. And then we like find the moment that most closely parallels the problem. So she starts talking about being hit in her office. And I was like, what about, you know, I know a little bit about migraines these days. Fortunately, I don't believe I've personally experienced one. But, you know, I know, like, what was bugging you? Was it sound? Was it lights? You know, what's going on? And she's like, oh my gosh, the lights. And with my glasses, we're just almost like burning my eyes out of my head. And so I was, and so we start like weaving in, and she's like finding this moment and this story based on, like, we ask, what's your client's problem? When did you feel like that? Well, with me, like just in my origin story earlier, I know, I'm really aware that my clients, like, I built this story around the pain points. Like, if the story I told about Las Vegas there, like, if I tell that in a courtroom, I would probably like go to jail. It's not courtroom truth, right? But there, it is my truth of the moment that I'm sharing here. And that's kind of another difference here is, like, what is the truth and the message that we're trying to tell? So I built that story around, I know that a lot of people out there are relying on their experience and their knowledge instead of actually knowing how to storytell. They think that they know how to storytell because they're successful entrepreneurs and they have successful businesses. And I say, no, you actually don't. You actually don't automatically know how to share your story because you have a success story. And so I start talking about that in there, and I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. They're winging it because I've worked with hundreds of them. And I know that they stay up the night before in the hotel conference room, making up new slides and then getting on the stage and going 20 minutes over because they're unpracticed and have no idea how the content's all going to come together or how they're relying on their credentials for so long. I know all these things. I didn't exactly do those things, but I put it into my story because I was building a story for the listener, not for me.
A lot of things just clicked for me as you went through that example. So thank you. I think one of the things that really came to me is, like, again, as I think about my story, there, to me, there's a linear story, but you could take the exact same fact and tell it so many different ways. And I think that's something my brain wasn't necessarily open to. It's like, no, here are the steps that happened. There's my story. Like, what do you want me to do with this? Like you said, it's, I can completely shift the frame. And then, you know, when we're talking about storytelling, add in pieces that are relatable and are things that my, you know, the people I'm talking to, the audience I'm talking to have dealt with that I can bring into my story. So it's like, it's kind of the same story. It's just told in a completely different way that now relates to the people instead of like being about me.
Yeah. And this brings it back to, like, a lot of people are afraid that sharing their story is manipulative or inauthentic. And really what's happening is if you're just sharing, like, your story in a way or sharing about a painful moment and you're just, you know, they think that using that in a way is going to be inauthentic to them. But it, once you have this framework and you understand the purpose and you can start plugging these in, and this is the magic that I teach, simple frameworks to think about stories so that I don't just work with people so that we write one story and expect that to be the correct answer forever. This is something that you're going to be working on and developing and hopefully creating new things in the future. And so having these frameworks of just knowing how to do it, it will also give you that confidence of being like, I know where I'm going with this story. Because if you don't know where you're going, then that's when you're like, am I telling this right? Am I going into too many details? And like, this detail seems important too. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I don't really know where I am. Oh my gosh, are they still like, are they judging me right now?
That's me on every podcast. I'm like, wait, where did I even start and where am I going? Why am I talking about this all of a sudden?
Simple frameworks can reduce the amount of static in your own mind and know that you can, like, put you on rails so that you can be more confident, more authentic, more practiced, and actually more present because you know what story you're going to tell. You know why you're going to tell it, where it's going to go. And so then you can afford to go off script a little bit and come right back on because you know where you're going.
Right, right. And I think that's kind of the point too. It's not about the script. It's about the framework and the intention. And then there's, you know, sure, you can have a script you can read off of, but if you have the framework, then that's really the foundation for being able to tell that story. And I want to come back to something you said, you know, in the introduction is, by stories how we connect to people. And so, yeah, like if I'm doing my rambling mess, people either stop listening or just kind of don't care. And so when I do get into what I think is amazing educational material that like we just don't have that connection that they need to listen to me to like really believe that what I'm saying is as amazing as it is, because we didn't have that connection. And so I just love the, I do see the value. And it's funny, I haven't had the thought that it could be manipulative. I'm sure. I mean, people have all kinds of opinions out there, but I love hearing people's stories when they're good.
Best stories are like, I know so many brilliant storytellers that have convinced themselves that they can't tell stories.
Oh,
it's like this. It's like the, oh, I don't want to share this because it would be manipulative or, you know, it would dishonor the thing, or everybody has their reason why they can't share more of themselves more authentically. And that's, you know, usually the story we practice the most.
I would love to become so good at my story that I feel like it could be manipulative instead of like a random bunch of sentences.
That would be great. Like that's my goal. We want, like, yeah, if we can do that, that's a certain level of like playfulness. And a lot of people, when we go into these moments, you know, there's still, especially if we haven't like fully healed or integrated them, they're so serious. We have to. And even I understand, like many of us have been through pain and injustice and things, but being able to like work with them and move with them and use them for our benefit, like what more beautiful and authentic use to have a story that's been a thorn in your side and a roadblock in your life for a long time, all of a sudden become healed and become something you use to make money. And hopefully when you're making money, and I know most of the people out here, I believe your intention when you're making money is to live a beautiful life and leave the world maybe a little bit better than you left it, which like, so you deserve money, right? And
absolutely.
And your story and your whole lifetime, not just the experience and your credentials, but everything that's made you is valuable and is part of your program. And that's where we can start using these stories.
Yeah, I love it.
Hey friends, I wanted to take a quick break from the podcast to share something really exciting with you. You see, over the last few years, I've helped hundreds of entrepreneurs, coaches, and thought leaders just like you create powerful and high converting presentations that allows them to enroll their customers and grow their business with their story. I've worked with many brilliant thought leaders and well-known names, and I've worked with many aspiring thought leaders who are just getting started. And I have found that there are 5 key and common mistakes that most people are making when creating presentations that are killing their sales. These mistakes are often counterintuitive, and so sometimes I need to employ some brutal honesty in order to get it through to my clients how important it is to correct these mistakes. I've gotten these mistakes written down in a guide that I use with all of my clients, and I want to share this same guide with you so you can avoid these costly and painful mistakes in your next presentation and start to see a boost in your sales as soon as you start to correct them. If you'd like this list, go to thestoryengine.co/honest. That's thestoryengine.co/honest. And I would love to know what you think and what you're working on. All right, let's get back to the show.
You've shared a really important and awesome way for us to be able to introduce ourselves with our origin story. So what's next?
Next up, when we introduce ourselves and we've established a connection with our audience, it's time to start teaching. And I know people love this part. And webinars and speeches and podcast interviews and all content really revolves around great teaching. But most presenters, in particular storytellers from the stage, don't exactly know what to teach or how to teach to get the best results. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So there's a careful balance in teaching versus selling in storytelling that you need to maintain to successfully convert your audience into customers. You can't oversell. Nobody's going to stay tuned to a webinar or a speech full of product pitching and no value. We've all heard those before, but most people tend to err on the other side of the spectrum. And if you teach too much, you may leave your audience feeling overwhelmed or with a feeling that they can now go and do what you taught them on their own. This is a disservice to them because they likely won't take action, or it won't be as effective as it would be to work with you. And so the balance is teaching to sell. Instead of teaching people how to do something, You want to teach them what to do and why it's important. So like, instead of teaching them a step-by-step process of here's how many sit-ups you need to do and here's how much celery you need to eat to get abs, we change their beliefs about what's possible in the world. You've been held back because of X, and I'm going to show you how to change that now so you can get your abs. For most people, this shifts the question around from when people are asking, like, what do I teach? From like, how do I cram as much information into these next 10 minutes so these people get it? To what's one thing I could teach in the next 10 minutes that would have the biggest impact? And the right success projector stories can help with this.
I love that. As somebody who overteaches, who's like, okay, let me just teach them everything I know in one webinar. This is going to be amazing. And obviously does not work well for conversions. I know I can particularly benefit from this one.
I feel a little bit ranty right now for some reason, but there's a lot of like, when it comes to teaching and selling, there's a lot of people that have these noble, high-minded blocks. They block themselves from actually selling and making offers and leaning into their audience because they have this idea of purity or something of like, yes, I must just teach them. I want to share this knowledge for free and help people do it on their own. And you know what? That's actually a disservice to them, because if you let your audience go, like you teach them, you know, everything you know, and you give them the keys to the castle intellectually, but really, like, how much can we really do in 60 minutes or even 120 or even a full day? And you let them go home feeling like what they can do, what they do on their own. I mean, like, how many times, anybody out there, just think about this for a second. How many times has a talk really like fully changed your life? Most likely that you'll go and you'll do the thing that you learned maybe for 2 days and decide it doesn't work, or you won't do it at all. But you'll just leave with this satisfied feeling of knowing what to do and wait until the next conference or talk or presentation that you hear and buy another course. And so, but there's this nobility of that when we teach people of like, if I can just teach them, if I can show them and not just sell them or express my value or try to attract them to the product, then it's going to be okay.
Absolutely. So, it feels safer, right? Teaching feels safe versus selling. You're then kind of putting yourself out on the line because now somebody can say no. Whereas when you're teaching, it's kind of just like, well, you know, the worst thing they're going to like is not like what I'm teaching, but it's the rejection thing is not as out there. And yes, as far as like hearing a great webinar or speech, it's the fake progress, right? We feel inspired. We think we're making progress, but in reality, we haven't gone anywhere. We're in the same place, just like a little more inspired for 5 minutes, then coming back to baseline. Or even worse, like you said, you're actually going below where you started because you're inspired, but you don't have any more tools. And so you're kind of like, now you're losing faith in what you are able to accomplish. So yeah.
Right. Thanks to a money block disguised as some high-minded nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Raise your hand if you've got one of those.
I've been there.
Absolutely. I think we've all been there. Yeah. It's recognizing and laughing at it and then choosing something else.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, how do we do this? How do we get this teach to sell balance right? And what I love to do is something called a success projection story. This gives your audience a chance to enter the shoes of somebody just like them and show them how you worked with them and solved their problem. And what this is a subtle and powerful way to overcome your audience's biggest objections and really shift those beliefs, like what I was describing. And by the time you make your offer, they can no longer raise the objections, and you can mention in detail what's happening in your program or in your offering in a way that has your audience leaning in and taking notes. So I've got a little template for you here. One of my clients in the program I'm offering, so blank in the program you're offering, came to me with this problem. This is the key problem your audience faces. And pro tip for everybody out there, say it something like this: Jane, or this person came to me. They hopped on one of my one-on-one calls that I have with them each month, and they said, Jane, this is my problem. My program takes a lot of energy. It's just not satisfying. And I heard them, and here's what I told them. And then you teach what you have to teach, and you teach that just the right dose to shift their beliefs. And then you start to describe how this teaching impacted or changed the client. Simple enough, right? But this is a really, really powerful way to say, hey, I have a program, and I get and people come to my program with these problems, and I solve those problems, and they leave happy. What does that really sound like? Here's an example of a success projector story from one of my clients. This handsome guy right here, Dr. Greg Eckel. He is one of the leading expert naturopaths in the U.S. on neurodegenerative disease, plus one of the kindest and most brilliant people I know. And over last year, over 2020, he created and hosted an online event called the Parkinson's Solutions Summit and worked with me to create a presentation to turn those summit attendees into high-ticket customers for his clinic in Portland. Now, let's be real, friends. It's a big challenge to get a digital subscriber to a free event open to traveling to Portland and throwing down five figures to work in like advanced medicine with him. And so we needed some stories, some success projector stories to open up his audience to new possibilities. Now, one of the biggest objections his clients face is, my doctor told me I don't have any other options and I'm just doomed to get worse. Well, that's what somebody with a neurodegenerative disease experience usually is. They go into a doctor's office. The doctor comes in, it's a 5-minute visit, 3 minutes, they don't even look at them. The last 2 minutes, they say, you're getting worse. Take more pills and I'll see you in 6 months, buddy. Out you go. That's if that's what they're believing and they're coming into this, are they going to be ready to fly out to Greg? No. So we need some stories to show what the possibilities are beyond what their doctor may have told them or is even aware of. So I'm going to turn on Greg. This is what Greg sounds like. I do a much better Greg than I do a Nicole from the last story. One of my clients, Bill, and of course we changed his name for privacy, came into my clinic after being tired of being told he was just getting worse by his doctor every visit. But with a few tests, we dug deeper and we found that heavy metal toxicity was behind most of the symptoms he was experiencing, not Parkinson's, which means he was treating the wrong problem. And so here's what we did, and I'll spare you the technical teaching. Bill left my clinic feeling much more empowered and in control of his health and had many new options for his treatment and hope in his quality of life. And Greg, this keynote and summit led to over $1 million in additional revenue for his clinic and tons more impact. He was able to, for the first time, transition to a hybrid online product where he was able to serve people at a distance and then have them come in periodically for advanced treatments. And it all came from this event and really being able to speak to this audience and shift their perspective about what's possible. And so if you can get this teach to sell balance right, just like what we've seen here, you're going to get people leaning in and taking notes when you're talking about your offer and your teaching. And they're going to start rehearsing, working with you and going through the same experience. And that's what we want them to start thinking and feeling right before we make our offer. Which brings me to our third stories. But Jane, do you have any questions or reflections from success projection?
You know, two things really come up. One, I love, so when I teach webinar, when I do webinar, I teach the idea of seeding your program, right? You want to talk about your program in context with what you're teaching. And I love the way you did it in such a smooth way that was also combined with the testimonial and the story. And it just feels like everything was so, I know some of the times we seed or talk about testimonials in our webinars, they kind of feel like isolated pieces or that they're like forced. Oh, well, somebody told me to put this in this part of the webinar or in this part of the presentation. Your example is just such a smooth way of getting all those components into a story in a super, super, super powerful way that I think has much more impact on the viewer than just putting the pieces in there separately.
Yeah. And just because it's fun to reveal the magic trick every once in a while, there's a double nested success projection story because I was talking about my client being successful through his stories of making his clients successful. And so there was actually, that was happening in two layers on there.
I love it because that's, well, and that's almost the more powerful piece sometimes too, right? That's like,
and
it's
you
the
don't
next
notice.
Layer.
You don't yeah. notice. You're open, which yeah. is why it's so fun and why it's so powerful.
Yeah. And then the other point is, you know, just I think the whole sale, quote unquote, sales pitch of a story, it's also more interesting to listen to a story like you told than something that's like more bullet pointy and forced.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I love that.
All right. So now we are going to enter the third phase of our presentation, the closing. And for today, you teach on webinars and there's lots that goes into making an offer and a call to action. And so we're just going to assume that all that's been done now. And you've given your next step. You've shown us the program and people are ready to buy. Now, of course, there's a great deal of nuance that goes into it, but we're just going to focus on the story today. And so what I would recommend is an aligned ending story at the end. This is a story that resolves your talk and leaves your audience feeling with the right emotion you want them to take away. So again, you've described your offer and you've given us the next steps of what we need to do to go deeper with you, to work more with you, to get the free download, whatever it is. And please God, you've long since stopped any teaching. I know you want to keep teaching, but we've got to stop. Every story has a moral, a message within it that gives it its meaning. And an aligned ending story's moral emotionally guides your audience to the right decision. Now, a good aligned ending story takes a moment from your life that has nothing to do with your business, your work, or whatever you've been teaching, but leads us to the right moral. So what are some morals? One could be like, take action now. Maybe a time when you resisted doing something, but when you did it, it changed your life. Or maybe hire an expert. This is one of my favorites. I've got a great example of this one coming up. Everyone has a good example of one of these. Talk about a time when you tried to solve a problem on your own, installing a new toilet, fixing a dishwasher, or maybe getting lost on a country road are some of the most common things. Instead of bringing in an expert, you made it worse. Or try something new. Sometime when you found you've been doing something one way for a long time, and then you discovered there was a new and better way. So you'll share a story, something like this, and then you'll realize as you close, or you'll act as if you're realizing that there's a parallel between this story that you're telling and the moment that the audience is experiencing right now. And you'll turn it around on them. And this is, again, something that's better, just like you described before, it's almost better felt than intellectually understood. So I'll do one more. So this is Bob. This is a financial planner that I worked with. So if you can imagine experiencing about 60-ish minutes of talking about retirement, you're probably having a steak dinner too. So anyway, put yourself in that suit. I'm in Bob now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I'm gonna close this up and leave you with this. So a few years ago, I walked into my kitchen and my wife was in there and she says, Bob, the dishwasher is broken. Will you please call the repairman to go fix it? And I look at her and I smile and I say, honey, I'm a smart man and I'm a financially savvy man. I'm a financial planner. And so, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fix that dishwasher myself. And with the money I save, I'm going to take us out to dinner. How does that sound? She looks at me, shakes her head and waves me off. Good enough for me. I open up YouTube, start typing out dishwasher repair, open up the dishwasher, and I'm looking around in there and I'm seeing these pieces moving around. And I think I see the one and it's back there and I'm trying to get it and it just won't, and snap. Now it's really broken. I peek my head over the counter, hoping that my wife has left by now and didn't see me just do this. Sure enough, she's there, shaking her head still. She hands me the phone. Repairman's already dialed. I call him up and bring him over. The repairman comes over to my house, takes a look at my dishwasher, sees the piece I broke, swaps it out, closes it up and says, Bob, you're good to go. The dishwasher's fixed. And I say, wait, repairman. The dishwasher was broken before I broke it. Did you fix that too? And he says, Bob, you were just putting too much soap into your dishwasher. Wow. So we get him to this point. They're laughing. Great story, Kyle. No, we turn him around. You know, I only tried to fix a dishwasher once in my life. And it was on that day that I learned how valuable it was to hire an expert, a repairman who fixes dishwashers every day, to come and help me out with this. And you know what the irony of this whole thing is? If I just would have called him in the first place, he probably could have saved me the amount of money that I promised that I would have been able to take my wife out to dinner. You know, all of you out there, you're only going to plan your retirements once in your life. And how much more important is that to hire an expert, somebody that can really guide you through this important process? I help people plan their retirements every day. And how much more money can one call to me really save you? What's possible? And so I hope that you'll join me in hiring an expert and creating the retirement of your dreams together. Thank you.
We can all hire you to do the voiceover, right, Kyle?
It's actually part of my coaching.
Really? Because you've got your delivery is just amazing.
It's one of I feel my gifts is, and when I'm working with clients, especially one-on-one, is I'm asking them a lot of questions and I'm kind of typing out a script, and I've just kind of got a rough version of the script for them to see. And a lot of times if they just see these kind of rough notes put together, they can't quite conceptualize it all. And so I do a read through and I'm able to like practice the timing and just show them the experience of what this story could be for them. And it really helps them, you know, I've made people cry reading their own stories that they've been telling for years to themselves. And so, yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the experience as well.
And I think that's the part that not as many people talk about. I think, you know, there's stories, a popular topic today, and there's some amazing experts talking about it. And a lot of them, you know, it does feel like they're kind of focused on the framework of the story, the tips of the story, but the way you just delivered it, I mean, was just a very different experience. And I think, you know, I'm guessing the people listening, watching can really tell the difference between just the story and what you just did. What's funny is when you said, you know, have a story of hiring an expert, a story of mine right away came to mind. It was in our house. We didn't have a backsplash. So instead of hiring an expert to do backsplash, we took 2 years creating our own, broke more tiles than it ever would have cost in hiring a professional. But when I'm like, oh, I could tell the story, but then I was listening to you tell the story, I'm like, okay, my story needs some work before it can have that kind of impact. Because I'm like, I got the facts down. I'm like, here's what didn't work. Here's why I should have hired somebody. But there were so many other pieces that I, as a layperson on storytelling, cannot necessarily identify, but like, you know what's in there. And I think it's all those other pieces that I think make, it's not just the topic, it's the other pieces in the delivery that really create the magic and power of stories is what I'm kind of picking up from this, from the last few minutes.
It's something like what you're saying. It's something that when I'm working with clients, like over 6 months, like people at first, when I'm like, hey, I have a 6-month program, they're like, why would a speech take that long? And it's really like refining over and over again. And one of the careful balances that I've really built into this presentation that I love to instill is exactly what you're detecting. I want to lead with a really easy to understand idea that you can run with, and you can like immediately start seeing yourself succeeding in, and you even have the inspiration. And then we weave in like there is complexity. We need to work with, you know, we need to say this in just the right way to really make this happen. And this is another thing that I'm building into when I'm working with my clients is we don't want to make our, if we make our talk sound or like what we teach sound too easy, then they're going to be like, okay, I'm fine on my own. But if we make it sound too hard, they're going to disengage. And so it's always this little tug of war of balancing between the subtleties of again, allowing them to see themselves being successful with it. And again, and what this is all about and what this kind of presentation and this kind of teaching is about is, again, allowing us to shift our perspective on what the problem is, not giving me the solution to the problem. And I mean, this is funny, like a lot of men are entrepreneurs and very masculine. They're always like, and I think a lot of entrepreneurial energy is just masculine. And so we try to just solve the problem for people. And that's what we are. We're problem solvers. Mm-hmm. But really what people want to hear in this context that we're experiencing right now, and when you're doing it yourself, is we want to look at the problem differently and feel like there's new options for us because we've tried so hard. And like I said, like we said, most people have overtaught us. And so we've gone through 16 other webinars, just like this one, and nothing has worked because we tried to go do it on our own. They overtaught us. They fire hosed us with knowledge. And now everybody's like disappointed and disillusioned. And do I even need to tune into this whole webinar? Or is this person just going to be pitching me the whole time? And so again, there's like such refinement, and it's such a valuable thing to be able to have and to be able to have dialed in on such a level that you can deliver in that way and understand the frameworks on top of it.
Absolutely. A question comes up for me. What's been your favorite kind of like turnaround story? Like someone coming to you with kind of not really knowing, like, do I have a story, or I'm just, you know, or just like they had a shitty story or were so awkward at it and came out with just like, you know, whatever their goal for the story was, they just like hit it out of the park.
Absolutely. I have a great example of this. I wonder if I shared this on the last one, but stop me if I have. I have a group coaching program called Story Pro as well. And I usually bring a nice intimate group of around 10 to 12 people through the same process I do people one-on-one with. Anyway, I had a functional diagnostic nutritionist come on, and I do one-on-one calls for the program. And then I work with somebody one-on-one once, and we share that with the group so everybody can see the process happening. And what I find, especially in these stories, is you claim value in the way that you tell stories, and that can be kind of an internal struggle. And so this woman came to me and hopped on one of my calls and said, "Hey, Kyle, I'm really stressed right now." She's trying to create her origin story. I'm having trouble with focus. I'm not sure who to speak to. And I was like, well, what's going on? And she's like, "Well, I'm having all these women with hormonal issues. They're coming to my business." I was like, "Okay, where's the problem?" And she's like, "But I really want to be working with kids and parents with kids with ADHD. "Okay, what's the problem?" "Well, I'm like dividing my attention between the two of them, and I'm not sure how I'm going to be working on this, and I'm having trouble with focus. And I'm just now discovering that I have ADHD." And then all of a sudden she's getting stressed out. She's like, "And I'm looking back on my life and looking at decades of dopamine driven decisions. And I'm just so frustrated that it's taken me so long to figure this out. And I keep thinking, if my parents had only known, they could have done something." And so this is when the other storytelling part of me lights up. I love working with this kind of stuff. And when people, there's certain words that I listen to that are just full of conflict and spite. And so I had a smile just like you did. I'm like, "Hey, do you want to play a game?" She says, "Okay." So I write down this sentence: "If my parents had only known, they could have done something." And we start changing it one word at a time. So if my parents had only known, they could have done something. I have her read and breathe it out, say it a few times. And she's like, "That's gross." Mm-hmm. Of course. Change one word. "If I had only known, I could have done something." A little bit better. Still gross. "Okay. I know now I can do something." Okay. A little bit closer, but still something. "I know now, and that's why it's so important that I reach kids at mm-hmm. this age with this message, because I know exactly how valuable it is." Mm. Oh, and so now she's now, you know, this energy of kind of like tight, you know, all has now relaxed. She's relaxed again. She's ready to be in a creative state, which is what we need to be in, you know, and now we've got her identity aligned with the story that we need to create, not in this place of stress. And so I'm like, "Tell me, is there anybody in your family that has ADHD? And she's like, "Oh yeah, I've seen it in my grandson." I'm like, "Tell me a story about that." So she starts talking about watching her grandson doing kid things and being ADDs, bouncing off the walls, and then watching his father trying to control the kid, which is her son. And just kind of shouting and being frustrated. The kid doesn't understand. The kid's frustrated. And they're both just kind of exhausting themselves and not understanding each other. And she's watching this happen and looking at that boy. And she starts to think about decades of dopamine-driven decisions that have just messed with her life. And it's taken so long until now. And she's looking back at her life and thinking, "If my parents had only known, they could have done something." Which is exactly the line that you would need to overcome this objection that most parents have of, "I don't want to put a label on my kid. I don't want to take people through this process. Let's just wait it out and see." These are all the things that left our person in this scenario in the first place. And so what she came onto the call with, this high stress energy, we actually turned that around and made it the key piece of her origin story to really lead people in and open parents up to it.
Mm, and it must have been such an amazing feeling for her to go. Cause I know I've been in that frustrated, overwhelmed, like, "Where the fuck do I go from here?" place. I'm sure so many others have. And like, you just explained such a 180 from that place to like, not only am I clear how I'm going to talk about it, I know why I'm doing it. Like all the puzzle pieces just kind of fall into place the way you share that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun. Because when you start to show up with that different, like creating this story changes you
Yeah.
And that's fun. That's great. We're rising up to a new level from this work. And so not only changes how your audience responds, it changes how you show up, and your audience will respond to that. And you're going to feel that. And then you're going to show up even more. And it creates this really fast positive feedback loop that you can sense right away. You can sense it on Zoom calls. You can definitely sense it when you're in a live environment.
And you mentioned something earlier about, like, you know, the people who hate sales, right? The people who are like, let me teach because I hate sales. Well, if you're like the woman in the beginning of the story and you're frustrated and you're like, I know I want to do this, but I don't really like have my messaging clear and I'm kind of a mess, but let me try to sell this. The woman's energy doing that is a complete different energy than the person who is like, this is why I'm doing it. This is why I'm so passionate about it. And here's the story that ties it all in. It's like, it's not selling anymore. It's really just sharing a passion that draws people into you and say, like, let me give you my money, please.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a beautiful reflection.
Oh, I love that. So you have a group program and you have a one-on-one coaching. Anything else people should know about, you know, how to get more help with story?
One of the first things, I can share a free gift that might be a useful place to start. I have a nice document with the sales stuff. I call it the 5 brutally honest storytelling mistakes. Mm. These are the mistakes that I most commonly see in presentations that people are making, and then simple tactics, a lot of what we've described to turn those around. And also inside of this document, there's an opportunity to book a rapid win story session with me. So a free 20-minute call where I'd love to chat with you, figure out what a good story could be for you to work on, and hear a little bit more about your business and your goals and your ideal customer to make another success story. So this is where we can go. Check it out, storyengine.co/honest. And I'll close this out with one more story, because that feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah, I love it.
So a few years back, after going through a transformation of my own health and really actually working on my own story and my own business, and after I've been traveling on the world for a while, I went back to my home of Utah, home state. And I love climbing and moving around in the deserts of southern Utah. I went down to this one national park called Zion's National Park. This is like a Grand Canyon kind of thing. Anyway, there's these gorgeous panoramas with these red rocks and this river running through it, and just tons of these little narrow canyons. Really beautiful place. And I went to the park this time with a bike, because a lot of the times there's these shuttles that move people up and down the park. I don't know what they're doing these days, but I brought a bike because I didn't want to be in a stuffy shuttle. So I'm riding on my bike through the park, and it's a totally different experience. I get to see this herd of deer running around. I get to just kind of walk down to the stream and dip my feet in the water. And I'm riding deeper and deeper into the park, far away from any of the crowded shuttle stops. And I find this little turn up this little canyon. I head up this canyon. Up this canyon, I see this like waterfall. It's so strange. It's like bursting out of this rock face, this waterfall. And it's kind of coming down and just making this little sparkling oasis of water and lush ferns and green trees that are shading me from the hot desert sun in this totally deserty place. And I'm just so amazed at how beautiful this place is. And I look behind me and I see these crowded shuttle buses of people passing by one by one, nobody realizing that they're missing out on this hidden gem, which could be one of the most beautiful places in the park. And you know, a lot of you out there are also hidden gems. And there's so many people that are just waiting to see you and experience you and know you and get that perspective shift, that paradigm shift that they are so thirsty for. They're so wanting. And so I hope that you can find a way to share your story and let the world know that you're out there and really shine as that gem. And let's let the world know that you're out there together. So thank you so much for joining me, for listening in. It's been an absolute pleasure, Jane.
Super powerful ending, Kyle. Thank you for demonstrating the power of story as a closing example too. I love when people show and tell at the same time, or show and teach at the same time.
Absolutely.
So I love this. I think this is just one of the most valuable things we can do as business owners, as people with a message. And so thank you so much, and really sharing this important topic with our people. go ahead, everyone listening, watching, reach out to Kyle, help him help you with your story. I know it's going to make all the difference in your business. So have a good day, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Story Engine Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes and resources mentioned on this episode and every other episode at thestoryengine.co. If you're looking to learn more about how to use storytelling to grow your business, then check out my new book, Selling with Story: How to Use Storytelling to Become an Authority, Boost Sales, and Win the Hearts and Minds of Your Audience. This book will equip you with actionable strategies and templates to help you share your unique value and build trust in presentations, sales, and conversations both online and offline. Learn more at sellingwithstory.co. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.